ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
सो दिस डिस्ट्रिब्यूशन पार्ट आई लीव अप टू आवर वेरी डियर गॉड ब्रदर वैशेषिक प्रभु. वैशेषिक प्रभु इज एक्चुअली अ वेरी वेरी स्पेशल डिवोटी. Vaisheshika Prabhu joined at the age of 17, right?
16.
Wow! Thanks for correcting me. So, at the age of 16. And the thing is that Vaisheshika Prabhu, since the day he joined, was dead serious about his commitment to Krishna consciousness. I haven't seen him when he was 16 years old. I met him much afterwards, but I saw how committed he was. I had the opportunity to get close to Vaisheshika Prabhu in 1997-98 when he was in San Jose. And at that time I saw the commitment of Vaisheshika Prabhu. He was married to Mother Nirakula, and he was naturally to maintain his family, he had to work. He was working, yet every day he used to go out distribute Srila Prabhupada's book. I must admit that I have been involved in ISKCON for over 40 years, and I haven't seen this kind of commitment. Like, although not living in a temple, although working outside, dealing with this external material nature, but such commitment of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And he is the right person, I consider, to recognize our family business. And he wrote a book. What is our family business?
Book
distribute books. Distribute books.
Distribute books.
And how, you know, it's actually Prabhupada's own words. Prabhupada said that book distribution is the best business. Prabhupada said, don't put your money in the bank. If you have money, print books. And these books will go out. And Prabhupada gave a formula. You know what the formula is? The formula is the printing cost plus markup, BBT cost to the temples. Temples markup doubly and sell it. Out of that, 50% is for the maintenance of the temple, and the 50% is meant for building other temples. That was the thing that formula Srila Prabhupada gave. So this is our family business. And you can see, when the book distribution goes on, there won't be any dearth of money. Money will come due to book distribution. Not only money, along with the book distribution will come devotees. Because if you distribute books, not just for the sake of distributing books, but properly. And in order to properly distribute books, you have to read the books. And Vaisheshika Prabhu had been personally practicing. And that's why today we can see that when Vaisheshika Prabhu actually stepped in again into the distribution network of inspiring devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, how do you all feel?
Awesome.
Due to Vaisheshika Prabhu's involvement here?
Arriba!
Are you all going out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books? And are you feeling ecstatic doing that? Are you getting a lot of money by doing that? Are you making devotees? And the devotees, those who are reading the books, they're spiritually, they're becoming so astute. His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu Ki.
Yeah.
శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to my exalted God brothers and God sisters who are present here today, and to all the Vaishnavas. You're the most worshipable in the universe and very dear to Krishna. And thank you, Maharaj, very much for your warm-hearted friendship at all times. It's very heartfelt that after Prabhupada has left and the God brothers that we've been with, the God brothers, God sisters, all of us somehow or other came together by Krishna's arrangement at a particular time. And it's astounding, as Maharaj is explaining, the rarity of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. And so must also be the appearance of various living entities who come at the same time. What to speak of those that become caught up in the loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What to speak of those who joined Srila Prabhupada right at the right time? I mean, the timing is uncanny. And therefore, knowing such and being able to call these very special souls, God brothers and God sisters, is extremely heartfelt. And this is actually the main solace after the spiritual master leaves, is one's service to one's guru and also the association of God brothers and God sisters. But then, of course, more and more people come to the Krishna consciousness movement because it's very attractive. In fact, my favorite scene in life is, well, I have several now that I think of it, but one of them is sitting and chanting Hare Krishna in public and then observing the expressions of people who hear the holy name. Because there's something about, well, one may chant the holy name and one may appreciate it to a certain degree according to the taste one has. But when one distributes the holy name, deliberately distributes it by making an arrangement to be in a place where we know a lot of people are going to be, and we make it as nice as possible so that people have some kind of context to appreciate what we're doing, and then we repeat the holy names out into the night air, and when people walk by and they stop and we observe their countenances, what are they thinking? What's going through their minds? The expression on the face is practically indescribable, but it's it is that of a soul who has been wandering in the material universe for untold births, who is suddenly coming in contact with Krishna, because the holy name is non-different from Krishna. And there's something so mysterious about the name that captures people. They hear it, and you can observe how they're trying to figure out, what is that sound? It's exotic. The sound Krishna. I mean, if you think about the word Krishna, and Rupa Goswami is describing how he's listening to his own chanting, and he's thinking, I need millions more ears. I need millions more tongues in order to keep expanding it. And we can see people leaning in. It's like a little bird or a cat. When they hear a sound, they kind of turn their head. Human beings, when they hear the holy name, they're listening, and they're trying to figure out, what is that sound? Rupa Goswami writes in his Namashtakam that when a person who is completely blind to the truth hears the Maha Mantra, that person can immediately get an inkling for bhakti. Yadabhaso pyutyan kalvam
kavalita bhavatvanto vibhavo drishan tatvandanam api dishati bhakti pranayinim. Those who are blind, they suddenly can sense bhakti just by hearing the holy name. And being there for that, the chanters become even more enlivened to see people appreciating. We appreciate sometimes even more when somebody new comes to Krishna consciousness and we see how enlivened they are. In fact, when we go about town, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us to do, to give this gift, sometimes we have the most profound experiences that encourage our own chanting. One of them happened right here in North Carolina about 5 years ago when we all, I think it was the first time we came here to Hillsboro to inaugurate the monthly Sankirtan Festival. It was 108 degrees. And we all went out. Any of you here then for the 108 degrees? Yes, whatever we learned was baked in. And one of the days that we were out and about in town, we were going door to door. In one of his purports in the 7th canto, 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada speaks about how the main purpose of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement is to go door to door and teach people about Krishna consciousness. So we were doing that because we figured Prabhupada said it, let's try. And we went to one door where a young man, he must have been in his 20s, answered the door with a little bit of labor. And it turned out that he was handicapped, severely handicapped. I can't say what it was exactly, but he could barely speak, and he was contorted. And as we greeted him at the door, he seemed very eager to see us and happy to see us. And there were about 11 devotees, I think, at the door. So it's quite a scene. And when I showed him a book, he grabbed it. And just a few seconds later, his caretaker, who was a nurse, probably a professional nurse, came to the door also in sort of an abrupt and angry mood. And she said, give it back, he doesn't want it. And he protested. He said, And he held on to the book, and she tried to take it from his hand, but he wouldn't let it go. And we were appreciating that there's something extraordinary about this person. So we told him a little bit about the book. We explained it to him and everything like that. And he was definitely attached and wanted to have it and appreciated that we were there. And then I told him that we don't sell it, but we just ask for donations. We use it to spread love of God all over the world. If you like, you can give something. Nurse said, absolutely not. And he then insisted again, no, in whatever way he could communicate. So finally the nurse went back and brought us a donation. And then I said, I'd like to teach you a prayer that's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. And she said, the nurse said, okay, that's it. You guys got to go. And she started to close the door, but he wouldn't let her close the door. And I said, okay, you repeat after me. Because I could see that there wasn't much time to do this. So then two words at a time, I said the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
But he could barely speak. He strained every sinew in his body to Hare Krishna. And then again I said, Hare Krishna. And, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. And through the whole Maha Mantra, with all of his strength, he was able to move his tongue and his vocal cords to say the whole Maha Mantra. Then finally the door closed. We didn't mind then. And I turned around and all the devotees had tears in their eyes. And as we walked away, one of the devotees said to me, I wish I had that much desire to chant Hare Krishna. So this giving of Krishna consciousness to others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is spiritual mathematics. In the material world, one may think the more I hoard what I have, the wealthier I am, the more assets I can accumulate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method is different. It's to distribute out of goodwill for the people of the world, to think, how can I do the highest good for the people in the world? And then to base one's lifestyle on giving to as many people as possible. And then the more that one gives, the more that one has capacity to take Krishna consciousness, the more one has capacity to appreciate Krishna consciousness. One's appreciating capacity increases. In the poetical language of Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents. And the more they did that, the more the contents increased. I've always appreciated that. In fact, the word in Bengali is lute, which sounds like looting. Same thing, right? And we've seen some of us in America at various times when a city erupts into riots and violence, oftentimes people loot. They'll start smashing in windows and indiscriminately carrying away anything they can get their hands on and just taking it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are described like mad people. They became so intoxicated by the process of Krishna consciousness, all they could think of was how to distribute to his others as much as possible. And they gave it out, not caring who was a fit candidate, who was an unfit candidate, what was a good time or wasn't, what wasn't a good time. That's spontaneous. It's a lot of, there's complete samadhi in that. If you become absorbed in that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, just go everywhere and give everyone the opportunity to somehow or other connect to the holy names, to transcendental literatures. Prabhupada really liked transcendental literatures. He spent so much time, his spiritual master told him that if you ever get money, print books. Prabhupada said, I could understand. It came from my spiritual master's mouth that he wanted these books. So he dedicated himself to printing them in Vrindavan. He actually, one of the great secrets of the Krishna consciousness movement is that Prabhupada's first set of Bhagavatams arrived in America a year before he did. Because Prabhupada was distributing books in India, and he took 16 sets to the Library of Congress, American institution, which was situated there in Delhi, and they bought those 16 sets, and they distributed them to various places, various branches around the world. So one of those sets went to the New York Public Library. Brahmananda told me that when Prabhupada first got to America, he went to that New York Public Library and he found his set of books there. And Brahmananda said that was Prabhupada's entertainment to go there and see his books in the library. As Maharaj was saying, he came here with no money, but actually I found out that when he stepped off the boat he had $20 because he sold a set of his books to the captain before he got there. Sure. Before he set foot on. And so he gave this delivery system. He did it himself in India. And then when he came to America for the first year, he supported himself by distributing the books that he had brought with him. And so today, just on the way here, we stopped to distribute books at a little nondescript mall by the side of the road. And every time that one does this, there's an exhilaration because you don't know what's going to happen. You do know that Prabhupada did it. He didn't know what was going to happen. It's like catching a Jaladuta when you walk out the door. Everyone should try to find a Jaladuta to catch on a regular basis. To take that risk. I'm getting on the boat. I'm going to go out no matter what. And I'll just try. I mean, Prabhupada was just following the order of his spiritual master. He said, just try. So it felt like that today. We had our little Jaladuta, that Murano that we drive around. Nissan Murano. We'll call it our Jaladuta now. And so I told Aditya Narayan Prabhu that if we could just find a little place on the way here with some shops that we could stop there and meet some people and distribute some books, because I've been finding that all over America there are these little malls. They're actually, I hate to call it a mall because you think of a big thing. There's just like about 10 or 20 shops in a row. Some of them are nail salons. I think that's what's keeping the American economy going. It's nail polish. There's millions of them. And then bars, people consume a lot of alcohol. And then there's all kinds of barber shops. People have to cut their hair. And little restaurants of all kinds. People have to eat. And they just start a little business. Nondescript, non-corporate. And so we just go and walk around those places and meet the people. So here's what happened today. We just found a little mall, and we walked up, and there was we saw some evidence that there were some Korean people there. So we also had Korean books with us. So the first place we went into was a it was a Korean restaurant. But it was being run by Mexican workers. And they were very interested, but the owner of the restaurant was very cruel. And she was very like, no, go away. And these other very sweet people, they wanted to keep a book. Actually, one of them did. And so we went on to the next place. And that was a barber shop. So we went into the barber shop. It was an African-American barbershop. Everyone in there was African-American. They were very welcoming when we busted into their shop. And they just looked like we just started talking to them. So the guy was cutting the person's hair, and at the same time, I was telling him about the Bhagavad Gita. And the guy that was in the chair was just going, like, okay. And as I was explaining to the guy, I could see that he was a ripe fruit. We look for the ripe fruits. We go out and Prabhupada said, go out and collect up the fortunate. So he had a good heart. So he finished, the guy got up, he walked out. He said, all right, let me look at it. And he goes through the book and he bought a Bhagavad Gita, put it in his shop. So and then we went up and down, and the next one was a dance studio, and they were a bunch of kids in there and their teachers learning how to dance. And I told them the whole thing about Lord Chaitanya came here. What's that? Yeah. And we talked about the Bhagavad Gita, and I asked for donation. They didn't have any money, and everyone was searching in their pockets, and they had leotards on. They didn't have any money. So I gave them the Bhagavad Gita, and I asked them to chant the Maha Mantra. So at first, just the girl who was holding the book said the Maha Mantra, and she was looking around like, how come you guys aren't chanting? The rest of there was 10 other students in there. So then gradually, by the time we got to Hari Rama, everyone was chanting inside. So we left that place, and we felt satisfied that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited that place. After all, Prabhupada wrote when he was in Vrindavan, in his Vrindavane Bhajan, that everyone's sitting in their homes, and they're looking down the road thinking, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? That's what they're thinking inside there. And so then the devotees were watching and they were thinking, how come you're giving away books for free? Big Bhagavad Gita. And so the next place we went, I just poked my head in the door and I said, the guy took one look at me and he goes, oh yeah, I love this stuff. And he came right out. He was the owner of the restaurant. He said, he told us he had three principles in life. Always be present. Never have any expectations. What was the third one? There was some other principle that he lived by. He was very spiritual. And an American guy who was had been in the military. Now he was searching for spiritual life. Took the Bhagavad Gita and he gave $20 immediately. Just very effusive and spontaneous that he wanted to take that. And just... we were only there for half an hour, but we were feeling so satisfied, so happy. When I walked in the door here, Mataji asked me, you know, how are you? And I said, I'm really happy. And I really meant it. I wasn't just saying that, because nothing can make you as happy as going out and distributing Krishna consciousness to others. You may have all kinds of problems, not may, you do have all kinds of problems. You take that for granted. But when you go out and try to give and distribute, then your appreciation for the process of Krishna consciousness becomes spontaneous. You don't have to intellectualize the process. You just become happy by giving out. And this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just indiscriminately go everywhere. It doesn't matter where. Just bring people these gifts. You can bring books. You can bring prasadam. You can bring the holy name. And arrange ways to give it to other people. And the more you give it out, the more it grows in your life. This is the great formula for success in Krishna consciousness. And of course, as Maharaj explained, you have to also give it to yourself. It's the first time we met Prabhupada in 1973 in San Francisco. The Sankirtan party was there, and the temple president was pointing out how many books the devotees were doing, and Prabhupada said, "I've not written these books just for selling. I've written them," he said, "you must also read these books, because I want you to read them to become pure devotees and go back home, back to Godhead." So anyone can participate in the Krishna consciousness movement. We've seen that it's such a simple thing to find out the great gift of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the holy name, prasadam, and then enhance it by giving it to others. As I've written in the book, I studied Jamuna's encyclopedic cookbook called Lord Krishna's Cuisine. And in the section on rice, I found out a very important philosophical point. And that is, when you mix rice, anybody like rice? Yes. And you mix beans, anybody like dal? When you put them together, she says, you get 42% more nutrition. There's a synergy between the two. So similarly, hearing and chanting is essential, as essential as rice. And distributing Krishna consciousness is also essential. But when you put the two together, you get 42% more sadhana power. The two things put together. Distributing, and then you'll become, as Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shushu Shro Sharadhana Sya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatseveya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevana. By serving the great souls, one develops an affinity for hearing about Krishna consciousness. And I see even new people who come into our congregations, and we invite them immediately to take up the process of hearing, chanting, and going out to distribute Krishna consciousness. In fact, one of our longest-standing devotees at ISV is a devotee named Ramananda Saka Prabhu. And I remember the first day he walked in the temple, and he was just trying to figure out, like, you know, what is this place? And we said, we're all going on Sankirtan. He said, what's that? I said, why don't you come and you'll find out. So we went out, and he was helping us at a book table, and we were all getting busy talking to people, and then somebody else came along and was interested in a book, and I said, show him. And so he picked up a Shirish Upanishad, and I heard him say to the people, I've heard this is a good book. And the people bought the book. And then I realized, you know, anybody can do this if you just get caught up in the Sankirtan movement and you go out. Then I've seen other devotees come and they become inspired by distributing. They say, well, what's really in these books? Maybe I should read them myself. And yeah, that's a good idea. If you do the two things together, it makes a complete meal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, Mayam Ragam Dayate Ipsitaman Vadavad, that he chased after people, that they were, people are, in this verse, actually it has three meanings, but one of them is that the people, Mrigam, they're like, in the age of Kali Yuga, people are animal-like in Kali Yuga, because they've forgotten everything, they have no training in anything. So he chased after these animal-like people to give them mercy, give them special mercy. And those who follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will also see for themselves how the internal energy works and always be enlivened in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And this is an important way to test your own mantras. Just as in previous ages, we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there were brahmanas that were so expert at chanting mantras that an animal would be sacrificed, and then by the proper pronunciation of the mantra, the animal would be revived, brought back to life. Is that correct, Mukunda Datta Prabhu? Confirmed by our pandit. So in a similar way, people in this age of Kali are like animals. And not only that, their souls have been killed by one layer after another of materialistic dogma. And practically they're dead. It's like called Atmaha. So now you can take out your mantra and test it on these animals who have already been killed by material nature and watch them come back to life. And then you know by distributing the mantra, by giving it to other people, once you give them mantra, you can even just hand them the mantra in written form, like these books. The mantras are all written down. Say, here, take this. And then you watch them revive as they take the mantras themselves. And this way you test the mantra. And you say, yes, it works. It works on those who have been killed by the process of material energy, and they come back to life. So why wouldn't it work for me? Oftentimes, in fact, this is part of our regular routine. When we go out to distribute books and prasadam, we also ask people to chant the holy name, as I just mentioned, that whole dance studio chanted. So we hand people a card with the mantra on it, and we'll say, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you all believe in it?
Yes.
So then we say, okay, I'm going to teach you this prayer, which is meant to wake up love for God in your heart. And it's a little hard to pronounce, so I'm going to say it once, and you can repeat. Are you ready?
Yes.
So then, today we this one lady, I said, are you ready? And she goes, okay. And I said, Hare Krishna. And she said, Hare Krishna. And then I said, Hare Krishna again. I said, wait a minute. What's in this? What's in this mantra? And so, not very often, but every once in a while, we're on the street, and we're, okay, I'll teach you this prayer. And then we'll say, are you ready? And one person, there's two people together. Yeah, are you ready? Yes. Hare Krishna. And the other guy goes, Bob, don't do it. He grabs his hand, don't do that. And I go, why? What's the matter? He goes, you don't know what's going to happen. And then the distributor starts thinking, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen either. If I keep chanting this mantra, it's like it's a heavy incantation that takes you back to the spiritual world. You keep chanting, and there'll be airplanes showing up to take you back to Godhead. It's a heavy mantra, but you realize it when you give it out to other people. You can't see the full capacity until you distribute. And the more you do that, the more it actually becomes visible in your life. There's also a mercy factor, because it's such an important activity. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, anachatasman manusheshu, that out of all the humans, and actually the humans are the most dear to Krishna. He says this to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He likes humans the best because they have the most capacity for becoming Krishna consciousness, because we're right in the middle. We're not big demigods and we're not in hell. And we're right here in the middle of the universe. And, you know, we only have like 70 to 100 years, maybe less, in order to make something. And he just likes us. He likes human beings. So, what was I just saying? I got just I checked my. Yeah, but before that?
Mantra.
You don't know what's in the mantra.
Yeah, but I had a really nice point. And I interrupted myself because I was.
I was scared to chant.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe it'll come back. In any case, human beings, it just flew away. So. Good, there's like reflections early. You have to revive me, I'm like a dead animal. Yeah, keep going back.
Bob, don't do it.
Yeah, Nachatasman Manusheshu. I was saying that Krishna likes humans anyway. What to speak of, you're a human and you distribute Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's a big thing. He already likes humans out of all the 8,400,000 species of life. That's pretty good. Just walk around being, hey, I'm a human. Krishna likes me. But then if you're a human and you take up distributing Bhagavad Gita, just that, I mean, how could you be more blessed? Just, then you become a happy human, Sukhinara. So it's a blessed activity to organize your life around this principle of giving. Keep the implements, the holy name, the transcendental literatures, the prasadam, keep it at arm's reach so you can always be giving to people. Even just as we were at the stoplight, there was this homeless person, apparently homeless, maybe she lives in a palace, we don't know, but she's collecting at this, and she has to sit there. I feel sorry for her, it's a terrible job. You have to sit there and look depressed all day. Like, I don't have anything. And so we just rolled down the window and said, excuse me, here, we got something for you. It was a lollipop and a book. And we gave it to her, and the devotees in the car got so excited. Ratna Radhika was going, she's reading it. We're driving away, and we felt happy. You know, that there's this person, she's got a dead-end job for sure. And we just gave her something. And we felt happy, she felt happy, the universe was a better place. And just in 10 seconds flat. So this is real life. Real life means to take advantage of the gifts we've been given and to give them out as profusely as possible. Even if you don't think you're very good at it, just try and Lord Chaitanya will assist you. And then you'll also go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.
That's a hard act to follow. Om jnana te mirantasya jnanam janashalakaya chakshuram vintamina tasmai shri gurave. First of all, I would like to offer my obeisances unto my esteemed elder god brothers, His Holiness Bhakti Chara Swami and His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, Drishti Prabhu, all of the elders in this assembly. And I also want to offer my obeisances to every word that they just said, because as I said, it's not easy to really approach their level. Actually, the topic that I was requested to speak about is not separate from what Maharaj spoke about and also what Vaisheshika spoke about. When I was very young, somehow or other, I came in contact with Krishna consciousness because I grew up very close to the temple. And I remember at some point before I was 15, I had a mantra card in my possession, and it was such a treasured possession of mine, because at that time I had begun to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the caption, I mean, in my mind's eye, I can still see every detail of this card. It was orange, it was yellow and red, and had the Maha Mantra and a small picture of Gopal Krishna. And the caption said, please chant this mantra and your life will be sublime. So I tried it. And one day I was a student, I was in school. And I was walking home from the library one day, and I was chanting this mantra all the way home because I couldn't stop it. I had read some of Prabhupada's books, and I understood that this mantra had special potency, like he's just been saying. And I just became so exhilarated with this understanding that after so many millions of births, like he said, I was one of those animals that was revived by the mantra. And we know that we have some time to generally perfect our chanting, but I'm still doing it 40 years later, so I must have done something right. But anyway, this is the manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that this mantra is available to all of us, and it's a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's mercy as well, His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And we have the responsibility to give this mantra to everyone that we meet. Jare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh dyadi. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially said those born in India have to do this. And if we take this Maha Mantra into our heart, and if we focus on the real goal, keep the goal in mind, just like we hear from the Rig Veda, Om Tad Vishno Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Surayaha Viviva Chakshurata Tam Tad Viprasu Vipanyavo Jagram Sasimindrate Vishno Rip Paramam Padam. Or as we heard, those who attended the Sadhu Sangha retreat, they had this Bhagavatam verse with the arrow, which is actually coming from Katha Upanishad. I'm not sure if Govindacharan realizes that or not. But the idea is that we are the arrow and the bow is this mantra. And we should shoot for the highest lakshya, for the highest target is Radha Krishna, Braja Prema, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving out for free in this age. Ananda lilamaya vigrahaya hemavhidavya chavisundaraya tasmai mahaprema rasa pradaya chaitanya chandraya namo namaste. His pastimes are just filled with bliss. He is the embodiment of blissful pastimes. He is the complexion of molten gold. His beauty is inestimable. It's like nothing, incomparable beauty. And he's just giving away this Vraja Prem in the midst of Kali Yuga. If we simply take it and try to hold on to this mantra within our hearts, keep it in our ears and all the way into our hearts, then we can very easily go back to Godhead even in one lifetime. And so we can imagine that if Shishupal was delivered through enviously chanting, we mentioned this, then what will happen to somebody who's not only trying to strive to become a devotee by chanting seriously, but is engaging many, many other people in doing the same thing, as he was describing. Jare de ke tare kaha, whoever you see, this is our responsibility, because we have interactions with other human beings every day, many of them. What is the result of that interaction? Are you being elevated by the interaction? Or are you being degraded by it? Is the other person being elevated? Or are you degrading them? Are you depriving them of the chance? You see, human life is just a short opportunity, and it's definitely not going to last. So while we're here, we can take advantage of this great process by studying Srila Prabhupada's books and understanding what is the real glory of this simple process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us, especially as he's been describing so nicely in the form of Sankirtana. Samyak Kirtan means all together, so many of us. One of Srila Prabhupada's many, many glories, it's really hard to limit them, but one of the prominent, I think it's prominent, Tamal Krishna Goswami wrote in his Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti about this. Srila Prabhupada's characteristic was that he expanded the definition of kirtan. Generally, when we hear the word kirtan, what do we think of? We think of mridanga and kartal and a mandali of devotees sitting and singing. And that's kirtan. But in Srila Prabhupada's view, to distribute books about Krishna consciousness is also kirtan. His own spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also considered the members of the Gaudiya Math, and by extension we can understand that means all the members of ISKCON, to be the mridangas, living mridangas in that kirtan. He called them living mridangas. And the kirtan is in every way we should emanate Krishna consciousness, the way that Vaisheshika does, for example. He really is an extraordinary person, I have to concur with Bhakti Chadu Swami. I remember when I first joined ISKCON, of course I was just a bewildered kid. I'm still bewildered, even though I have no excuse for it anymore. But I remember this is on the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtana party. And every morning at Mangal Arati, Vaisheshika Prabhu could not go three verses or four verses maximum before he just started wildly dancing in abandon with both knees raised high, both arms raised high, and a blissful smile on his face. And actually, there were many others on that party who did the same thing. That kind of enthusiasm is very infectious. So that kind of commitment to the holy name is what sustains us in Krishna consciousness. It's like breathing. And we can read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, but if our hearts remain infected with the disease of envy, then we can't really get the real benefit from that. They as he said, they have to go together like rice and dal. So the enthusiasm generated, the urge to turn towards God that is within our hearts, those who are pious or theistic, that is nourished by this chanting of the holy name. And the books give the understanding by which we can direct that process. But the essential process is just that simple. There's nothing other than chanting. Harer Nama Iva Kevalam. You know so many famous verses. So this is the great process that we have to take deeply within ourselves, and this is the same process we have to share with everyone we meet. And if we do that, then it's sure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Prabhupada and all of their representatives, we will be so deeply blessed and the whole world can become auspicious. This is what I think of whenever I remember this verse from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a verse that's actually written over the doorway of the famous Krishna Janmabhumi temple in Mathura. Swasti astu vishvasya khala prasidatam jhayantu bhutani shivam mithodhya manashabhadram bhajatara dhokshaje aveshyatam no matigapya haitaki. He prays that may the whole universe be auspicious, and may all the demons be pacified. May all living entities think of each other's welfare. May our minds become auspicious by practicing bhakti yoga unto the transcendental Lord. And may we enter more and more deeply into this process. This is such an exalted prayer. So the chanting of the holy name is really the essential thing in this day and age, in the age of Kali. We know that. And my god sister Govinda Dasi told me something very interesting when she was last in Vrindavan. She told me that in 1968 they were driving in a car with Srila Prabhupada in Montreal, maybe it was in Toronto, I don't remember. And Prabhupada was talking to her and whoever the other devotees were. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that there will be large halls that are rented, and people, young Indian householders in particular, he said, they will come and pay admission to join in our kirtan in these halls. And this is something I actually saw happen. Well, it's happening many places now, actually. I was thinking of that when we were at this Sadhu Sangha. So many people coming now to chant the holy name because they understand the great fortune of this opportunity. So Srila Prabhupada gave many instructions on kirtan. He gave not only technical musical instructions on kirtan, those are also there. We don't see that they're followed so much, but they are there. But the main thing is this process of purification of the hridroga, the heart disease that we all have. So much black stuff in our hearts that has to come out. And it only comes out through receptive chanting, offenseless chanting. Everything that we do in Krishna consciousness is only for this one simple purpose of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. The process is very simple. Simple doesn't always mean easy. Because, you know, we're infected. We're diseased, conditioned. Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita gives the nice analogy of jaundice. Anyone ever had jaundice? When you're jaundiced, what happens? Your eyes turn yellow, everything turns yellow. You're weak. If you eat sugar, what does it taste like? Kerala! So, but the best cure, Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami writes, is for jaundice is to just take it. Just eat the sugar. This holy name is the most sweet of all sweet things. Madhuram madhure piopi. And it is the most auspicious of all auspicious things. And we become freed from our disease. I mentioned the other day, we mukta bandha and paramvrajet. These two things happen. We become not only free of our disease, but we're given a special station in Goloka Prema by divine grace through the agency of this holy name, as taught by Srila Prabhupada. So, I'll share one very wonderful verse from Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. It's an anonymous verse. Nobody knows who wrote it, but it's very, very old, because even when Rupa Goswami included it in his anthology 500 years ago, he considered this to be an ancient verse. He says, Kalyananam nithanam, kalimalamathanam pavanam pavananam. That means of all the auspicious things, this holy name is the essence. It is the auspiciousness of anything auspicious. And it is able to destroy all the ills of the Kali Yuga. Kalimalamathanam. Pavanam pavananam. Of all purifying things, it is the purity. You see? And then he says, Bhateyan yan mumuksho sapari para para praptiye prochyamanam. That means, for someone who's trying for liberation, this holy name is all the provision that you need. You don't need anything else. Pateyam means something you put in your bag to take on the airplane, for example, or when you're traveling. See, this holy name is everything. Pateyam yan mumuksho sapari para para praptiye. And for attaining a parapara prapti, a transcendental station in, like I said, Goloka Vrindavan, you only need this. It's declared to be this by the great sages. Then he says, Kavivaravachasam jivanam sajjananam. It is the end of all beautiful poetic descriptions, because no matter how good of a poet you are, even if you're Kalidas, or in here in English we have Shakespeare, that you won't find anything more suitable to be glorified than this holy name because of all these things that we've already described. Bijam dharma drumasya. It is the root of the tree of dharma. Dharma is the root of all good things, but this is the seed of that tree, the holy name. It is the effective ingredient, so to speak, whether you're fond of karma or jnana, and in this material world, those are the only two options. It is the active ingredient in either one of them. So, bijam dharmadramasya prabhavatu bhavatam bhutaye Krishna nama. May that holy name of Krishna confer auspiciousness on all of you. This is Rupa Goswami's blessing, and we've all been given this blessing by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Krishna.
We have several sets of Srimad Bhagavatams, so we have a policy that no book may be left behind. And all these Bhagavatam sets. If you don't have a Bhagavatam set, you come up to Aditya Narayan just afterward, he'll give you one. There's some insignificant donation that you can give to him. He'll tell you what it is, but don't even consider that. It's not relevant to the conversation. Take the Bhagavatams, and also it's possible, because Maharaj is here, he might sign them for you, the Bhagavatams. And also, Maharaj's book is on the other side, which is, it will melt your heart, telling the story of how he met Prabhupada and all these intimate pastimes of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in our very own world treasure of ISKCON, His Holiness Bhakti True Swami. So that is available. So everything must go. No book left here, please. So here's a Jiti Narayan. If you don't have a Bhagavatam set, you know who you are. Come get one. The set, and if you already have one, then since people nowadays have many rooms in their house, you should have one in every house. This is the best way to adjust the vastu in your home. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. So if you looked at your astrological chart lately, you'll find there are a lot of ups and downs. Everyone has them, don't worry. But if you put Goloka Vrindavan in, then don't worry either. There's no problem. So we recommend every child in the house should have a full set of Bhagavatams for him or herself. And every room should have one as well. So if you already have one, you come get another one. If you don't have one, run up here to the front immediately. And Aditya Narayan Prabhu will take care of you. Right, Aditya? Okay, and will you ask Maharaj personally if he'll sign them? Because that makes it irresistible. And then, I mean, you have the rarest of rare things, the Srimad Bhagavatam signed by His Holiness Bhakti True Swami. Is that okay, Maharaj?
I just want to add something quickly. When I got this book, Bhakti Charaswami's book, and I read the entire book in one sitting. It's that entrancing. It's very, very nice.
So we actually have a lot of nectar here. First of all, we would like to thank all the Vaishnavas for the wonderful behavior class. Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj actually spoke on the special precious gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving all of us. And then His Grace Vaishnava Chaitanya Prabhu spoke of like how we actually receive the gift by giving it out, and His Grace Mukunda Prabhu actually spoke of the importance of the holy name. So let's thank all the three wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you explained the difference between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. You said there is this relationship of neutrality and servitorship in Vaikuntha, and the rest of the three are in the Vrindavan. So Maharaj, actually that generated a few questions in my mind, that when we, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he exhibited this topmost bhav, the conjugal love in Parkiya Ras. And so when the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga, when they get an opportunity to chant this Hare Krishna mantra, and the ones who attain perfection in this process, so do they directly get a chance to go back to Golok Vrindavan and attain one of these three relationships, the friendship, parental or conjugal? And then also, I have been hearing about the swaroop, like every soul has a swaroop. So if every soul has a swaroop, and the one who has perfected this process, does he directly get into just these three relationships, or does it still has some kind of a swaroop?
Yeah, very nice question. Thank you very much. Do you remember that when Lakshmi Devi approached Narayan to have access to Vrindavan, his Rasa Leela, then Narayan said that you have to follow one of the residents of Vrindavan. So that is the means, actually, to enter into Vrindavan. There are two types of bhakti, Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti means the devotional service following the rules and regulations given in the scriptures, bidhi, rules and regulations. By following rules and regulations or Vaidhi bhakti, one actually gets access to Vaikuntha. When one achieves perfection through Vaidhi bhakti, he goes to Vaikuntha. But the way to enter into Vrindavan is actually Raganuga bhakti. The meaning of, that's what actually Narayan told, that you see, the meaning of the Raganuga, Raga means love, intense loving emotion. And the residence of Vrindavan has that intense love for Krishna, as I mentioned. Due to that love, their love is so intense, so deep, that they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All they feel is their love for Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, therefore, are considered to be Ragatmika Bhaktas. The residents of Vrindavan are Ragatmika Bhaktas, those who have just intense love for Krishna. And Anuga means to follow. So when one follows one of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, that becomes Raganuga Bhakti. Now, by following Raganuga Bhakti, or by following the process of Raganuga Bhakti, one gets access to Vrindavan. That actually takes him to Vrindavan. But there is one consideration again that comes in, that Rupa Goswami is saying that one must render devotional service following Vaidhi Bhakti. Otherwise it will simply create a disturbance. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra Vidhin Bina, Oikantiki Harel Bhaktir Utpatai Vakalpate. If one renders devotional service, no matter how intense, how sincere it is, if it is executed without following the rules and regulations given by the Shruti, Smriti, Puran, etc., these scriptures, will simply create a disturbance. Utpata eva kalpate. So, you see, the point is, Raganuga Bhakti is the way to go to Vrindavan, but Vaidhi Bhakti must be followed. Like, if we don't follow Vaidhi Bhakti, then it will simply create a disturbance. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually harmonized these two concepts. Appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different from serving Krishna. Krishna is served by, you know, Sorasu Upachar, you know, like rendering service through, you know, utilizing different ingredients for worship. Krishna is worshipped, that's the way he is served. But the service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to the scriptures, yagai sankirtana prayas. The bidhi that has been given in the scriptures to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is through a very special kind of yagya called sankirtan yagya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is served through Chaitanya, through Sankirtan. That is the Bidhi. We are following the Bidhi mark. Is serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan. But now, let us consider, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when you are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you following? Srimati Radharani, who is the greatest of all the Ragatmika Bhaktas. So you see, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is automatically being transformed into following Srimati Radharani, or it's automatically being transformed into Raganuga Bhakti, Rag Anuga. And as a result of that, as you're asking, like, you know, by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or following the process of Sankirtan, whether one will eventually go to Vrindavan? Yes, that is the way to go to Vrindavan. How? Because when we serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when we achieve perfection, then who do we see? In place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see Radha Krishna. Just as Ramananda Rai saw, the perfection of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in seeing a revelation of himself as Radha Krishna. The process of Sankirtan is actually taking us in this way to Radha Krishna. And when you are seeing Radha Krishna, where are you? You are in Vrindavan. So this is the way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave. Like, just we have to simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And automatically this Vaidhi Bhakti of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become transformed into Raganuga Bhakti, which will give us access to Vrindavan. And yes, when you are in Vrindavan, you see, ultimately what will be our mellow is entirely up to Krishna. Spiritual life means depend upon Krishna. Material life means demand. But spiritual life is to depend. Whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants me to go to hell, I'll go to hell. That is the mood of a devotee. If Krishna wants me to, whatever mellow Krishna wants to reward me, award me, I'm happy with that. And as you are asking the Swarup, that becomes the Swarup. The Swarup of a living entity is his relationship with Krishna. And in Vrindavan, not only these three mellows are there, all five mellows are there in his perfection. Santarash is there, Dasya is there, Sakha is there, Vatsalya is there, and Madhur is there. But the predominating factor is the Madhur conjugal in Parokya. And all the other mellows are actually supporting that. Ultimate consideration is Krishna's loving relationship with Srimati Radharani. So that is Vrindavan. Thank you.
Come forward and say it loud. No, give him the microphone. I don't think you heard it properly. I also didn't hear it properly.
So, if somebody was ready to take the books, but they are not interested to, you know, buy something, so shall I go ahead and distribute for free to the people? So that, does it give the real value of the book to the, you know? I felt it, you know, let's go the book to them, Krishna will bless them, and one day they will come back.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that we should not disclose this knowledge to those who are not devoted or austere. So what are we to do? How do we know people are devoted or austere? Well, this is a like on a battlefield when you're running around. It's called triage. You have to find people that you can save, that are savable right away, and you have to do it quickly too. It's a dire situation, and there's not much time, so we have to go around and find people and give them as much Krishna, pour in as much mercy as possible, as quickly as possible. So, in distributing books, you're specifically asking about that. What we do is we explain the book to people in an attractive way that it will appeal to their mind and their heart. And then at the end, we ask them for a donation. And the reason we ask for a donation, and I'll just tell you what I tell people, because it explains it. Because I tell them exactly why we ask for a donation. And everyone that was out with me today will verify this is what I tell people. I tell them that we don't sell this book like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And when we tell them that, they understand. In fact, one person today I told, and you know, she was hesitating. I said, it's like a penance. You do some penance, and this is your penance, and then you'll be able to understand the book. So then there's sometimes people don't have money. Money's just a token anyway. It's a piece of paper. But it means something to them, so we accept it. And we give it to Krishna, because then they get the benefit. And then they're able to read the book. But if they can't give a donation, if they pay attention, we also give it to them. At least I do. Because when I show them the book and they pay attention, they paid something. In fact, I tell people that sometimes they feel guilty. They say, I don't have anything. I can't give anything. I said, listen, you just gave your valuable time. That's even more valuable than money. And you gave your time. I really appreciate it. In fact, a lot of times I say that to people. They walk away and then find some money and come back and give it to me. So appreciate it. But Prabhupada asked us to get something in return for the books. But we also have to know the art of how to leave people with a good impression so that every person you meet, you touch in the appropriate way so they walk away feeling that I just met the nicest person in the world. And that I really appreciate what they're doing, and I don't know what's in this book, but because I like that person, I'm going to read this book. So you have to be really nice to people, and you have to treat them like that they're your best friend. And you have to engage in a loving exchange by pouring out your heart to them and accepting what they give in return. Something like that. Hare Krishna.
Tell a story about the lighter.
Oh, yeah. So, story of the lighter. This is just it illustrates a principle. So we were on Black Friday. Is that scary? Yeah, it's the day after Thanksgiving. It is scary. People go shopping downtown in the millions to return to buy stuff for Christmas, whatever it is. They do that after Christmas. They give back all the junk. But the day after Thanksgiving, everybody goes downtown and they're trying to get deals. And they're just crowded like anything. So we have a downtown San Francisco, the Harinam party is lined up, chanting nicely. We have these beautiful yellow Bhagavad Gitas. You can see that we're distributing the people up and down the street. So this young hippie couple, yes, there still are hippies. If you go to San Francisco, you can see some. Hippie couple walking down the street, and they were mesmerized by the Harinam party, so I stepped over to introduce them to the Bhagavad Gita. And right there in the middle of the crowd, just like any good hippie would do, they sat down on the sidewalk to look at the book. They were so absorbed in appreciating it. And I was appreciating them, appreciating the book. And people were walking around us. And there we are in this little bubble. And then I told them about the donation, just like I told you now. And they really tried hard. They looked in every pocket. They couldn't find anything except the cigarette lighter. And the guy halfway pulled it out, a black Bic cigarette lighter. And he goes, oh, you don't want this? And I said, yes, I do. And I could see that he was kind of offering it to me, but hoping that I wouldn't take it. It's because he said, well, you don't want this, right? And I go, yeah, I do. And so like the momentum was already there. I took the cigarette lighter. And that was a big sacrifice for him. And the reason I know is because about an hour later, I was standing there. Some of his friends came over and they said, you still got the cigarette lighter? Because we kind of need it right now. And And I won't go into details why they need it. But what I did with it was, I took it home. I cleaned it more than I've cleaned anything else in my life. And I put it with my puja paraphernalia. So in the morning when we worship the deities, I take that cigarette lighter. And for my worship of Giriraj and Shalagram, I light the lamp. And I was just thinking of those people that now that every time I light the lamp and I offer it to the deity, they're getting this benefit. And this is the mood of Sankirtan. We take, we're meant, it's a loving exchange. We're meant to engage people in innovative ways so they can come closer to Krishna. It's not about the money. We're not trying to make money on this. The money pours in. The more you're generous, the more you give it out to other people, you'll have so many, you'll get tired of it. There's so much. That sounds like the President of the United States. But it's a fact. Hare Krishna.
Guru Mahārāj, you're mentioning that how Krishna actually, he contemplates that how will conditioned living entities actually enter Vrindavan. So one side we hear that how we read how Krishna is Atmaram, he is completely satisfied. But does Krishna still have a desire that conditioned souls actually engage in the higher three rasas instead of the lower three? Is that a more pleasure in Krishna? Like, does Krishna receive more pleasure if conditioned souls are actually engaged in the higher three rasas? Like, I was just thinking, like, why does Krishna contemplate that the living entities go to the higher rasas?
Jar jay rosh hai shei sarvottamo. Whatever one's, whichever mellow is one's original relationship, he considers that to be the highest. And it's not that, you see, Krishna wants different living entities to kind of, you know, become related to him in a certain way. Like, in on the other hand, we can consider that actually it is the living entity's own swarup, his own constitutional position. Like, for example, those who are in Santara and meditating, they think that's the highest. Right? To them, that's the highest. Those who are serving, they think that's the highest. It's not that they're thinking, oh, why I am in servitorship? I should at least become a friendship. No, that's not the spiritual mood. Like, spiritual mood is whatever one's relationship is, he is perfectly situated in that. But what actually Krishna considers is that I reveal my Brajalila. Now, how will anyone have access to Brajalila? Right? The thing is, because generally the devotional service is rendered in through Vaidhi Bhakti. There are four other Vaishnava Sampradayas, right? They have been there since time immemorial. But their mood or their way is Vaidhi Bhakti. And their destination is Vaikuntha. So Vrindavan is actually unknown. Vrindavan was unknown. Now Krishna revealed the Brajalila. But the consideration is, how will anyone understand the profundity of Brajalila? Right? Some people thought, oh, this is one of Krishna's pastimes, the earthly pastimes. Some people even considered, oh, it's immoral, so we don't really want to delve into that. But in order to make one understand the real purpose and objective of Brajalila, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Had he not have come, jodi gaura na hoito, tabe ki hoito, kamone dhoritam dehe. If Gaur Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come, how would I have maintained my life and soul? Prema, Radharo Mohima, Prema Rasho Shima, Jagote Janatuki. Then who would have revealed to this world the glory of Radharani's loving relationship with Krishna? So that is why he came. He revealed his pastime, and now is the consideration of making people understand what it is actually. Like, if you think that Vaikuntha is the ultimate, then Vrindavan pastimes will appear to be like an just one of the earthly pastimes that Krishna performs on the earth planet. But by appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pointed out this apparently earthly pastimes are the topmost region of the spiritual world. And now you look at a reflection. Reflection, the topmost appears to be bottom. Right? Therefore, if you look at it, like look at the reflection, from this end point of view, when you see the reflection of the region of the spiritual domain, Brahma Jyoti. That is appears, from this perspective, it appears to be the highest. Right? And then, Vaikuntha is reflected as heavenly planet, Swargaloka. And Brajalila is reflected as the earthly pastimes. Right? So, if you go enter into the spiritual world, the first is Brahma Jyoti, then Vaikuntha, then Vrindavan. Now in the reflection, it is reflected like that. Apparently it seems that the demigods are in a higher position. But if you look at it, that's why, as Vaisheshika Prabhu was pointing out, human beings are very dear to Krishna. Because, you know, they have the prerogative, they have the access or ability and eligibility to enter into Brajalila. So even the demigods, if they have to enter into Krishna's Brajalila, they have to come down to the earth planet. As I mentioned, like Vaikuntha, you cannot go from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. If anybody had to go to Vrindavan from Vaikuntha, he has to come back to the earth planet and perform Sankirtan. And that is how he has access to Vrindavan. That has been pointed out in Brihad Bhagavatam. Gop Kumar from Dwarka, he had to come back to Vrindavan, earthly Vrindavan, perform Sankirtan, and then he actually became eligible. So that is how rare Krishna's Brajalila is. And therefore Krishna actually made this special arrangement for the human beings when they're apparently most degraded in the age of Kali. They have the access to Vrindavan.
In that respect, I just also wanted to make a point.
Man has been created according to the image of God. The original form of the actual form of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is two-armed, like a human being. And with that image, he has created human beings. With his Vaikuntha form, four-armed form, he created the demigods.
Hare Krishna is just like so much nectar. I was thinking like, what is our qualification that all these advanced Vaishnavas are here and are pouring nectar into our ears? So we are very, very grateful to all of you that, you know, we know that you have like so busy schedules, traveling all around the world, preaching the message of Sri Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and you have taken time to visit us and bless us with your association. So we are very, very grateful to all of you. I'm just a servant, but everyone is doing so much. But we are very, very fortunate. So let's thank all of them, and we request all of them to please visit us again whenever there's an opportunity. We are blessed by your association, so please do visit us again.
Hare Ram!
Drishta Prabhu didn't say anything. Let's see.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're going to go on Hari Nam on Saturday in Hillsborough. And we invite anybody who wants to come along to tell us that you're going to come along so we know how many are coming. And we'll be in front of Weaver Street Market at noon, and we'll be there for a couple hours, maybe 11:30. Well, anyway, we'll decide on a time. But we really want to spread Krishna consciousness, and we're very inspired by the wonderful devotees who've come here and given us their wonderful association so that we can feel more inspired to give Krishna consciousness to everyone we meet. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Like questions came and I answered, Vaisheshika Prabhu answered, and now I want to hear some of you asking a question to Mukunda Datta Prabhu. He gave such a brilliant class on that, brilliant class on the holy name.
Yeah, take the mic.
Hare Krishna, such transcendental sharings were there that every one of us who is hearing here and online, we are all inspired to take up with full enthusiasm and heart. I'm speaking on behalf of all of us because I'm 100% confident that we all would like to enter into Golok Vrindavan pastimes. So addressing the practical concern that an obstacle on the path of spiritual advancement, as Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, purport that is the weakness of our heart, which is caused by primarily two reasons. One is the tendency to lord it over material nature, and the other is the attachment to that matter. So what would be a practical way while we are engaged in devotional process to overcome that weakness of heart? Thank you so much. It was a great evening, a memorable one for your wonderful association. Great stalwarts, and thank you for inspiring us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is one of those questions that falls into the general category of how do I make advancement in Krishna consciousness? And the answer to any of such questions is always the same, sadhu sangha. When you associate with devotees who are more advanced and whose faith is deeper than yours, because that's the definition of more advanced, and you get inspiration from them, as you were saying, and you get also practical directions from them, then all anarthas can be overcome very quickly. We know from Rupa Goswami's Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, which itself practically is just a commentary on the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, verse 25. Shraddharatir Bhaktirana Kamishyati. All the way from a beginning, an initial stage of some faith that we may have, when we invest that in the process of sadhu sangha, then automatically all the ugly things within us, they are dissolved, commensurate to the intensity of the association that we accept. And we become fixed in bhakti, and we get a real taste for bhakti, we become attached to that taste, and then it matures into bhava bhakti. And ultimately, we hope, prema bhakti. This is the process that's outlined. But everything actually begins with sadhu sangha, because practicing bhakti yoga means bhajana kriya, the activities of worshiping Krishna. That only happens in the association of devotees. It comes from the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada is a devotee, you see. So his books are there, he's given us the process, and it's nourished by that association as well. To the extent that we associate with devotees, to that extent we make advancement as much as we want. Someone even told me that Srila Prabhupada said, association is 90% of our advancement. But it is logical. Our advancement in any direction is dependent on our association. Even in the material world, the same principle is there. So by associating with devotees, we will be chanting, we will be hearing, we will be remembering, we will be serving, we will be offering prayers, etc., etc., etc. So all shortcomings can be eradicated just by accepting stronger association. Sajati ashaya snigdha. We should become attached to somebody who's like us, but whose faith is deeper than us. If you cannot find association of someone who is similar to you, then you may not be able to relate, and it may be hard to take advantage of the process. But if you only associate with someone who's similar to you but doesn't have deeper faith than yours, then there's no point. So it has to be both of those things at the same time. This is Rupa Goswami's advice in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that's one thing. And then, as we were saying earlier, the main thing is chanting. If we chant, the more we chant, these things become plans. Hearing and chanting, it's like in the saying, both have to go on. All the activities of bhakti, all 64 of them actually, they're affected through sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoi, sarva siddhi. Every perfection is available, no matter what it is, through association with a pure devotee, especially. Okay?
It's really very nice to listen your lecture, your kirtan as always, and your answer to the specific question. And from this answer, I have a question, a little one. When we start initially Krishna consciousness, then we know about Krishna consciousness and we get attracted so much and we feel like, oh, offering bhoga to Krishna is so wonderful, chanting is so nice, going to temple is so wonderful. And then we start going more and more and more and start offering and accepting this knowledge. And then what happens at a point of time, like Vaisheshika Prabhu always says, like Krishna take over all of your life, and then gradually devotional service increases, you go to more sadhu sangha, and then you get inspired to read more books. And in that time, then sometimes I personally realize that before I used to like offer every glass of milk my son was asking me to drink, and now I have started offered tulsi leaf, putting in the glass and giving it to my son, thinking that okay, it's now offered, because I added an offered tulsi leaf because I have to make some sweets for this program and something somewhere to go and something like in the process. So more and more and more sadhu sangha brings more and more and more devotional service, and then I think like end of the day, I'm becoming more Krishna conscious, or I am diluting myself. So is there anything we can do about it?
That's a very long question. In fact, it's so long that I'm not sure what the question is. Maybe if you say it very simply, I can repeat. Oh, I see. Okay, it's a practical question. Well, one thing we can do is just offer enough milk. Because Krishna can eat unlimited amounts, yes. Especially either Jagannath or Giriraj. These are the two eaters. So, I mean, that's a simple question, so that's a simple answer. Is that okay, or are you wondering about...
That was one example, though.
One example, okay. I hope you're not just putting a tulsi leaf in your bead bag.
While I'm chanting, I'm planning that how I will do the next service.
Yeah, that's dangerous. That we have to watch out for, because then it becomes namaparad, no? We have to understand that we're inviting Krishna into our heart, or at least into our ears, hopefully all the way into the heart. And we have to be attentive. That's a very, very important thing. Inattention is basically the source of all of the other offenses. What you're talking about is more like distraction, but it's a subcategory. This is why I said earlier that all the different things that we do in Krishna consciousness, they're really only meant to bring us to the stage of pure chanting. Because although it's very, very simple, it's also very hard for us. We're very conditioned in so many non-devotional ways, you see. So it's a very good thing if we recite these 10 offenses to the holy name every morning. Otherwise, how do we remain conscious and aware that we need to work on these things? So, same as with his question, if we keep stronger association, they can help us, inspire us, they can guide us, they can correct us as need be. It takes some time, so we have to be a little patient. But keeping good association and making a conscious effort to weed out these kinds of anarthas is very important. Although we develop all good qualities just by engaging in devotional service, the essence of it is chanting in this yuga, and the chanting has to be performed very carefully. You want to add something? Something to add, any of you? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. If anybody has any question, you have to tell who the question is directed to.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Anyone can answer. When chanting, is it okay to think about the pastimes, or we should just hear the vibration of the sound? What is the scripture and Acharya say about that?
Well, since Mukunda Datta Prabhu is asked, that is the topic he's discussing, you would like to hear.
This is Hare Krishna. This is a very important question. It's a question that comes up from time to time, and it's a question that Srila Prabhupada dealt with. In Chaitanya Charitamrita and in other places, Srila Prabhupada has very clearly said that we should, at least in the beginning, we should just hear without trying to artificially focus the mind on anything else, even a picture of Krishna. People do so many things to try to artificially fix their minds. But the holy name is what does everything. And when we give sufficient attention and focus to the holy name, then the nature of the holy name changes, or our perception, rather, of the holy name changes. And we realize that the holy name is what we were trying to concentrate on all along, because the holy name is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Really, all we have to do is treat him that way, and then he reveals himself. Swayam eva spurati. So we should hear very carefully. We should chant loud enough that we can hear, and maybe not so loud that we disturb everyone around us. But, you know, and distinctly, we should try to pronounce the mantra every syllable. It's very important to hear. And that's the main focus. Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
Vaisheshika Prabhu spoke about Srimad Bhagavatam and the book that I wrote, Ocean of Mercy. But Vaisheshika Prabhu didn't mention about his book. So how many of you have... Okay, let's approach it in this way. How many of you have joined the family of ISKCON? Those who have joined, please raise your hands. Okay. So those who have joined the ISKCON family, do you want to know what's your family business? So how many of you know your family business? How many of you don't know what's your family business? So everyone knows. Now, do you want to reconfirm your commitment to your family business?
Yes.
Okay. So read Vaisheshika Prabhu's Our Family Business. How many of you have this book? How many of you don't have this book? How many of you think that this book should be given to somebody else? And how many of you want this book particularly signed by Vaisheshika Prabhu? So, those who want, please take this book. It's a brilliant book. The most wonderful book. Please read it. Take it. If you have read it, you know what it is, and you have realized the importance of giving this book to others, those who are actually aspiring for Krishna consciousness, please give this book to them as well. Thank you very much.
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.